Blog Talk Radio.
Sing it down low for him. Sing it down low for him. Partner in crime.
Hello, good evening. This is Minister LaDon, and we are so thankful and happy that you are joining us on this beautiful Tuesday evening. And we hope that you have your notebooks, we hope that you have your pens, and we hope that you are ready to receive, go, and grow. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, as you all know, we've been doing a series in the month of May.
And I got to be very transparent. We started this Minding My M's in May series. Started the first Tuesday in May, and we have 5 Tuesdays, and we know that that was an anointed series because we knew that God was going to bless many. Many were going to be able to take a lot away with this, and I believe that it was going to help many propel into their destiny, into their future, into their dreams, visions, and ideas. And as you all may know or have witnessed, that we've had one attack after another attack after another attack after another attack. And I tell you, when I say on tonight that the fifth Tuesday of maturity, you would have to understand what the attacks have been for woman-to-woman ministry, for you to understand, for us to be here on this call on tonight, I believe Minister LaDon is a sign of maturity.
Amen, 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 amen. I believe as well. You know, and it made me think about last week's show when we touched on some of the information that we'll be touching on tonight. But one of the things that we talked about was staying confident in the place where God has you. So we're confident in God. And when you're mature, one of the signs of being mature is being confident in God, so that no matter what you're going through, you can be persistent and you can be consistent. And I think that as hosts of this show, that's one of the things that we've had to do in order to continue to bring this series about, is making sure that we're staying persistent and that we're staying consistent. There's things that we've had to change or readjust because of the attacks that have come along with, you know, bringing about the information that we've been bringing about for this month. However, because we know that this information has been placed on our hearts from God, you are definitely going to receive all of what God has given us and downpoured into us as well as our guests. You're going to receive all those tools to help you get to where you are going, help you reach your goals. Amen?
Amen. Amen. So we are excited, and we hope that you have your pens and paper. And as Mr. LaDon said, this is the time. If you have some girlfriends that you've been following woman to woman with and you think that they need to be on this call on tonight, we suggest that you take this moment to text them and call them and let them know that the show is starting, and we're going to give some, we believe, some great information, information that we could take with us. And hopefully everybody, Minister LaDon, am I coming through clear?
You are for me, and please let me know if I am not coming through clear, because we are in different locations, and we want to make sure that you're able to hear us. So if you have any, you might hear a little background noise, but we will, as long as you can hear us and we're coming in clear, we want to make sure that that happens.
Amen. Amen. So I think the first thing I'm going to do is, because we're speaking about maturity, so I'm going to give you the definition of maturity. Now, first and foremost, I always like to go to the, not Greek, because the language in the biblical days was Hebrew. So I always like to go to the Hebrew and find out what's the Hebrew word for anything. So in this case, I'm looking, you know, I did a study to find the Hebrew word for maturity. And that word, that Hebrew word is pronounced helikia. Again, that's helikia, and that's H-E-L-I-K-I-A, and that's maturity. And it's the short definition is age or stature, age, term of life, full age, maturity, stature. So I'm also going to give you the Webster Dictionary as what it says is maturity. And very much the same. It just probably goes a little bit more in detail. It speaks about ripeness, when something reaches its full level of development, the quality of behaving mentally and emotionally like an adult. Now, whatever that term adult is, I think that's kind of loosely, you know, but we consider adult to be a mature age. You know, when someone turns 21, we said they have now reached the mature age of adulthood. And we also know that getting to a certain age doesn't necessarily make someone mature. So I want to be careful even with the Webster saying that, like an adult, because that's loose. The date on which a transaction, a note, is completed is a maturity date. You know, a life policy is a maturity date. So all these speak about something arriving to a certain point of maturity. And so I just wanted to make sure we understood what maturity meant, and then we could get into what the word says about maturity. We learned about, you know, our first Tuesday of May, we talked about the mind. We had Minister Angela Alsay came on, and she did a great presentation on the mind and the spirit. And then on week two, Minister LaDon came with management, managing your life, managing your affairs. And so you got your mind straight the first week. The second week, we talked about management. And the third and fourth week, all hell broke out. And I'm literally saying all hell broke out because that's when the attack started. And the third week was supposed to be on maintenance, which speaks about our body and maintaining our body. You know, because if you maintain your body, or you maintain your mind, you maintain your body. And so we were supposed to speak about the maintenance of the body. And then on the fourth week, we were going to speak about money. And so those shows are still going to come at a different point in time, but we didn't want to stop with what we got. So out of five series, we only actually brought you three. Again, it was the mind and the management, and now we're speaking about maturity. And so first of all, I gave you an example or a description of what maturity meant. Now I want to take you to Philippians. I'm going to take you through some scriptures, and the reason I'm taking you through these scriptures is because a lot of times we could talk what we want to talk, and what we say is based on either opinion, it's based on experience, it's based on our truth. And one of the things that was revealed to me on this past Sunday is that what was revealed is that God is the truth. So if your truth is not based on God, who is the truth, then it ain't the truth. I'm going to repeat that. If your truth is not based on God, who is the truth, then it's not the truth. So a lot of times we give stuff based on our own truths, our own life lessons, our own opinions. So I always like to go back to scripture because I love to share my opinion with you. That's my testimony in many cases. Minister LaDon could share her testimony and her experiences. And those are good because that could encourage you and maybe that could inspire you. Maybe that could let you know, well, she could do it. If God did it for her, he'll do it for me. And that's what we try to do, and that's the platform here. But we don't never want to get away from the sound doctrine of the word of God because that word is the truth. You know, and we base our truths from that. But this is the truth. So Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 15 tells us, brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet. So I'm going to, as I read it, I'm going to break it down into some maybe a little bit more understandable terms. So basically it's saying, I want you guys to know, Minister LaDon, we want you all to know that we haven't arrived. We're not saying that we got it, you know, that we got a grasp over our minds, that we got a grasp over management, that we have a grasp over maintenance, our money. We're not saying that we are perfect and that we've arrived. But one thing we do, forgetting what lies behind, so whatever my mistake I made yesterday, I have a new now. Whatever I did yesterday, I have a new now. I'm not saying go out and run amok because you know you have a new now, but what I'm saying is when we blow it, when we trip up, when we slip up, we can lay behind those things. So it says, lie behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. So we're supposed to keep our eyes focused on the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. We're supposed to continuously move ahead. And it says here, forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal it to you. So in other words, what we're saying and what Philippians is saying, and we agree with what Philippians is saying, is that We have to keep our the right attitude. We cannot be so depressed and distraught by yesterday's failures that we can't continue to move forward in tomorrow's hopes and dreams and visions. So we have to continue to move forward, not looking back to the things behind, but looking forward and pressing towards the goal. What's the goal? Our goal is Christ Jesus. Our goal is to be more like Christ. Our goal is to live. He said when he was here that we would do greater things than he did. I mean, he turned water into wine. So if he did these greater things, he's saying to us, that's supposed to be our goal. We're supposed to be moving towards the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And so that's what Philippians is telling us in here, is that this is one of the things. And we're talking about maturity on tonight. So these scriptures that we're going to bring to you is talking about maturity. One of the ways you know that you're mature, because one of the ways you're going to know you're mature is, A, you're not going to act like you got it all together and like you don't blow it and that you don't miss the mark. But what it also says is maturity is not going to say, I'm going to waddle in my past mistakes. I'm going to be defeated by my failures, but I'm going to continue to look forward. I'm going to continue to move forward. I often say it's one thing to slip in mud, realize you slipped in mud, get up, wash it off, and move on. There's another thing to waddle in it. And so this tells us perfectly, don't waddle in the things behind, but stay focused, stay moving forward towards the things that's ahead of us. Amen. Mr. LaDon, I didn't know if you wanted to add to that.
Amen. You know, I love that scripture. For me, a couple things really pop out right away. One is we're humbling our spirit. When we're saying, you know, I don't profess to know everything, you're humbling your spirit. What God has been showing me over these series is that there is a constant position that we should be in order to receive. If you know anything about sports, they teach you about position. They teach you how to stand. They teach you how to defend yourself in certain sports like tennis or basketball, in football, even in boxing. There's positions that they teach you, and these positions are to help protect you, to help defend yourself, and to help advance you as well, to help you get the upper hand, to help you get to where you need to be at the end of the race. Even when you're racing, there's a position that they teach you to be in when you begin the race. As you start running the race, they teach you how to position yourself to catch the fastest win. So as we listen to the scripture, some of the things that pop out to me are the instances of position. The first being to humble our spirit. When we humble our spirit, we put ourselves in a place where we're saying, you know what, I don't know everything there is to know. When you realize that you don't know everything that there is to know, you allow yourself to be open to learning more. You allow yourself to be open to receiving further instruction and receiving more information that's out there. Once we humble ourselves, we submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit. And so when we submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit, what we're doing is we're positioning ourselves again. We are positioning ourselves to say, you know what, I don't have to hold on to the past. I don't have to hold on to the mistakes that I made yesterday. If you know anything about a coach and you submit your own decisions or your own direction to the instruction of a coach, you might be saying, you know what, I feel like I should do more jumping jacks. And the coach is saying, no, I think you need to work on your free throws. And you don't work on your free throws, and then you never become better at free throws. But when you start listening to the coach can direct you and guide you where you need to improve. And so you don't have to worry about what it is that you don't know, because the coach will always take you to a place of learning stuff that will improve your performance or take you to a place where you're winning more often or winning constantly. So when we submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit, we're positioning ourselves for the win. And
Amen.
The win, Amen. And when we also, when we submit ourselves, we're positioning ourselves to receive as well. So when, again, when you submit, what happens is you become a receptor and you're able to receive. So we always want to be in a place where we can receive from God, whether we're receiving healing, we're receiving instruction, we're receiving guidance. We always want to be a receptor and in a place where we receive from God. So that's why Ephesians pops out for me, because it's talking so much about what positions we need to be in and when we need to be in those positions.
Amen. 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 That's good. That was right on target. Again, we're dealing with me and me, you. We're dealing with me, the individual, coming from Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 through 15. So we dealt with me. And so now what we're going to do is we're going to go to the next phase, which is others. How do we deal with others? So we've already dealt with ourselves and humbling ourselves and not allowing past mistakes to torture us, so to say. You know, we could stay. You know, I believe that the story of Lot's wife was a perfect example of her holding on to the past, and it destroyed her. It literally killed her and took her life, because she could not. She continued to look back. She looked back, you know, and she had was given strict instruction not to look back. And I believe that's what God would tell us today. Whoever's listening in on today, as we deal with the me portion of maturity, is that don't look back. You know, if God delivered you out of situations, if God delivered you from your past mistakes, you know, your past idolatries, that you, whatever the thing is that he delivered you from in the past, don't look back. He wants us to look ahead. And oftentimes his children have a tendency to want to look back, and sometimes looking back could kill us. You know, it may not just be a physical death, but it could definitely be a spiritual death. So part of our maturity is looking forward. Amen. So we're going to go to the next phase, which is others. How do we deal with others in this, to know that we're mature? And we're going to come from Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Again, Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. And it says, brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. And what I believe for me this is saying is that, you know, oftentimes we as believers are guilty when we see somebody else falling or we see somebody falling short. We're so guilty to automatically condemn and pass harsh judgment and criticalness. And I believe this scripture is telling us that that's a sign of immaturity. When we do that, you know, when you see it all the time when you be so, you know, on social media or wherever, and people are judging somebody else. Well, did you know she was sleeping with such and such husband? She deserved to die. She deserved karma or any of those kind of things. And now, is it sin? It's sin. It's sin. But how he wants us to deal with the person is like we automatically attack the person instead of attacking the sin. And we got to come into a spirit of maturity where we're no longer attacking the person, but we understand that it's a spirit, and it's a spirit of sin. And then we have to learn how to approach the person, because it says here, you know, it says here, if we see anyone caught in any trespass, we're supposed to be spiritually mature to restore such a one. So in other words, you can't restore somebody if you're coming up making accusations. The enemy makes accusations, and because of the enemy's accusations, but because the enemy makes accusations, it leads us into condemnation. And so if you're making accusations and you are already throwing the stone, so to say, at your brothers and sisters in Christ, then who do you become? Because they're not going to be convicted by what you're saying. they're going to be condemned. And condemnation will take them away from the presence of God. Conviction draws them towards God. So we're supposed to be spiritually mature to restore when our brothers and sisters are going through something, in a spirit of gentleness. So in other words, we're supposed to love on our brothers and sisters when they're going through something. We're supposed to be able to come and tell them in love when they're out of order. And they may not always receive it, but I guarantee you, even if you go in love from the right spirit, a spirit of godliness and gentleness, and you go and tell one of your brothers and sisters something they did wrong, they may snap at you. They may become defensive. But guess what? It breathes the ground of a spirit of conviction. So even though they may not receive it right at that moment, in that quiet place, because of the way you did it, according to the will of God, they're going to get convicted from that thing. And in most cases, either they're going to change the behavior or they're going to change the behavior and they're going to come to you and apologize for being defensive. Because it's the spirit. And when we're dealing with people with the right spirit, then we're going to get the right response, amen? And so then it goes on to say, each one look into yourself. In other words, before you go and point, before you throw stones, make sure you're not living in a glass house. Before you throw stones, make sure, now that's not scripture. That's a little free one from Coach D. But it, goes, but it says, each one look into yourself so that you too will not be tempted. How many of us, I'm going to give a perfect example. And this was many years ago, and I'm not sure. There was a, I won't call his name, some of you may know, but there was a huge big-time pastor out of San Antonio, Texas. And he was so against certain things, certain behaviors. I mean, just spoke so against so many different behaviors, you know. And we see it a lot. I'm not going to just call that pastor, but it's, we've seen it quite a bit in the body where you got pastors that speak against homosexuality, just huge, you know, or speak against some other kind of sin. And, I mean, they campaign against it. You know, we're going to campaign, we're going to, and before you know it, the condemnation in the campaign is so great that before you know it, a year later, months down the line, you find out that the very thing that these people were campaigning was the very thing that they were challenged with themselves, amen? And so, again, Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 is telling us, it's giving us a first, it's telling us how to deal with our brothers and sisters who are trespassed. It says to us that we have a mature spirit to restore and to with the spirit of gentleness. And then it says, each one of us look at ourselves first. Before you go confront somebody else, look at yourself first. Make sure your own hands are not dirty. At least you get them dirtier than they are because of your dirt. So look at yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burden and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Christ was love. The whole Bible, New Testament is a love story. It's about a man who came and died and rose again for us, because of love, because of God's love, he sent his only begotten son. So he sent to us, and it says in the word of God, I think it's 2 Timothy, and it talks about love covers a multitude of sin. That is so true, because guess what? Christ was love, and his death covered a multitude of sins, and we're supposed to be Christ-like. We're supposed to be Christ-like, and so our love is supposed to cover the multitude of sin. It's not that it makes sin okay. It's not that it approves sin. It's not that it tolerates and accepts sin, but it's saying that our love should be enough to cause this person to want to grow from that. Our love should be such power that it causes the person to repent because we showed the love of Christ, and then they see their way. And because of the love of Christ shining through us, they were able to see their way and walk away from that trespass. Amen, Mr. LaDon?
Amen, amen. You know, a couple of things, and hopefully I'll be able to be short about it, but I'm so excited. I might not be too short. But, again, I'm going to come from the place of position. This scripture talks so much about perception. I love that at the beginning of the show, you brought out that everything that we do is supposed to be based on the truth. A lot of times we go into situations based on our own perception, and some of these perceptions are based on, you know, different practices, different habits, different rituals, maybe religious practices that we've grown up with. But everything that we do, we want to, again, test it through, we want to test it with the spirit, and that is scriptural, that we test the spirit of everything. So this scripture tells us, first and foremost, before we even get into trying to restore somebody, is first we want to check our spirit. We want to see how are we viewing the situation. Are we viewing the situation based on what we think should be happening, or are we viewing the situation based on the Word of God? And that's where so many of us get caught up. Even as leaders, we can get caught up. As students, we can get caught up. One thing I want to remind everyone, that Jesus was a perpetual student. He was a perpetual learner. When he came into this world, remember the stories about him going and sitting in the synagogues and learning. And then even after he started preaching and teaching, he would always sit before his Father. He would always call upon his Father so that he could learn what to do. The things that he did was only what he saw his Father do. Only what he saw his Father do. So, again, this scripture talks to us about position. We want to make sure that before we begin to approach a situation, how are we viewing that situation? If you have animosity, if you have a bad attitude, if you're not operating in love, you need to first check yourself. If you're coming at the situation and you're venomous about it, you're in this place where you're right and that other person is wrong, you're already not operating in love, because remember, love says it covers a multitude of sins, but it keeps no account of wrongdoing. Correction is needed. It doesn't keep account of wrongdoing. So you can't approach a situation like, I'm right, you're wrong, this is what you need to do. You have to make sure that you're operating from a spirit of God. That's the first thing about that. And then it also tells us, so first is perception. The second thing is we're checking our spirit. The third thing is it tells us even how to restore. We're still checking our spirit. It says restore in a spirit of gentleness. So yeah, when we're restoring people, we are definitely checking our spirit first. Many times we go into situations wanting to correct other people. It's not even the desire for them to be correct. It's the desire for us to say, you're wrong, and you know you're wrong, and you need to acknowledge yourself as wrong, and then we can go from here. You are not the judge and jury. God is, but God does use us to restore our brothers and sisters, to help balance out our brothers and sisters, to help bring them back into right order. But make sure God is using you. Make sure you're not stepping out in your own spirit out of disappointment, out of anger, out of hurt. A lot of times, and I'm talking to the women right now, a lot of times when we're hurt in relational situations, we want that other person to come. We want them to apologize. We want them to admit that they're wrong. And then we have a million other things for them to do to even try to get back into right place. What if God did those same things to us?
Mm-hmm.
What if Jesus did the same thing to us rather than covering us with love? And when you, here's the thing, and this is key, because this scripture is telling us first that we're seeking God and we're operating in a, from truth. Not from our own perception, but from a perception of truth. And Jesus is the truth, so we're operating in the spirit of Jesus. when Jesus covers everything, you don't have to worry about who's doing what. All you have to do is continuously take it to God. When you approach somebody and you're talking to somebody, when you're in the right spirit and you know that God has you restoring your sister or brother, you're going to operate according to what God has laid out for you. You're going to be able to test the spirit and know, you know what, maybe I don't push this issue, or maybe I point out this issue. But, of course, it's going to be according to love. And when we operate in the right spirit and Jesus is covering everything, because he is sufficient, because when Jesus is there, all things are working to the good of those who love God according to his purpose, you don't have to worry about the outcome as long as you're obeying what God is telling you to do. So those are the things. Again, it's position that's standing out for me. The approach, the perception, the approach, and the restoration. How are you handling the situation?
Amen. Awesome, awesome. Rich, this is a rich dialogue. So now we've dealt with the Philippians 3, 13 through 15, me. We've dealt with Galatians chapter 6, 1 and 2, others. And now we're going to get to all, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. And this is dealing, this is not just individually or you know, how we're dealing with one-on-one, but this is how we deal with all. How should we all be? What maturity level should we all be at? And Ephesians chapter 4 tells us, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ. So I'm just going to go back over that and just break it down. It was a little long, but I want to break it down into parts so we could just really understand it. So it goes on to say, that until we all attain to the unity of the faith. So that's our goal. That's our goal, is to attain the unity of faith, to come together all as one. Because what did he say, Minister LaDonna? He's coming back for what?
I'm sorry? Repeat that?
What did God say? He's coming back for what? One church. Yeah. And so he says, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. So he's saying he's coming back for one church. He ain't coming back where you got this over here and that over there and this doctrine over here and this belief over here. He's coming back to the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man. Now here, man, woman, it's not, it's not gender-based per se. So he's coming back to mature believers, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. So that says it very clear. He can't have us all over the place. You know, if we're not operating in Philippians, meaning we ain't checking ourselves. We holding on to the past. We can't move forward. You know, we're harder on ourselves, blaming ourselves, and not even forgiving ourselves. And then with Galatians, you got Galatians, and it tells us about others, how we treat our brothers when they fall, when they trip up, when they're hurting, when they're in pain. How are we dealing with them? You know, are we causing them, condemnation? Are we pushing them in condemnation? Are we causing them to not even want to deal with the church? How many people do we often see, and they say, you ask them, where's your church home? Well, I don't have a church. I don't go to church. I believe in God, but I don't go to church. Last time I went to church, this happened. And so are we aiding to that? Are we attacking them? Are we causing them great suffering and pain to the point where they run away from, in some cases, even run away from God? And oftentimes, we don't want to believe this, but the truth of the matter, and the Bible says this, is that sometimes we're going to be the only God that people see.
Amen.
You know, we're going to be the only God that people see. So, I'm really, tonight's show, I mean, heck, this really ministered to me because I could think of times that I've had a tendency to see certain things that I know was out of order because it affected me directly. And how many of us know sometimes we could see people doing stuff out of order and we just turn our heads and don't even pay attention. But when somebody do something out of order that directly affects us, we have a different attitude towards those kind of people. You know, when somebody hurt us, that they didn't pay us back our money, or they not doing what we think they're supposed to be doing, and we've had some type of personal relationship with them at some point, we automatically start judging them. Well, how can they be a Christian if they ain't doing this? And how can they be a Christian if they ain't doing that? I believe that God is really, this message tonight is on target. I'm not sure who all out there listening, but I'm letting you know it's on target. It's on target for me because this is like the third time I'm hearing this on Sunday. The message on Sunday was very similar to this because the message on Sunday was that a lot of people that don't come to the knowledge of Christ Jesus that hasn't accepted or haven't hearkened to the call, we want to think that they just rebellious and in disobedient. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says they can't come to him unless God chooses them. In other words, they can't see the truth. They can't see the truth because their eyes are covered by the enemy, and it's God that removes the blinders for people to hear, to see, to come into the truth. So I had that message just really blessed me because of the fact that just the sure fact that I have a relationship with Christ is because God took the blinders off my eyes. And so how can I, and that humbled me. And the reason that humbled me is because now when I look at people who are, what I see is so far removed from the knowledge of Christ, my first thing used to just be like a disgust. Like, you know, how can you just not even know that? How you just don't know that Christ is real? And so that message was so good is that it was only by God's unmerited favor, his grace in my life, that he took the blinders off my eyes. And then I'm waiting in the Lamb's Book of Life. So if somebody else is not there yet, it's not saying it's over. They still have a chance. We still can sow the seeds. We could still continue to pray and stand in the gap and believe for them, that God may extend the same grace to them that he's extended to us.
Amen.
And that's really what we're talking about on tonight. Spiritual maturity comes when you learn how to love others as Christ has loved us. Spiritual maturity comes when you see your brother tripping or your sister tripping, instead of talking about them, praying for them. Oh, that's spiritual maturity, you know. And then I'm going to finish in Ephesians, as we were talking about. Christ is saying, attain one unity to the unity of the faith, one church, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, the knowledge of Christ, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children. We got to stop being children. We got to stop being breastfed. You know, breastfed. What do you mean, Coach D? What you mean, breastfed? Well, you know what? Breastfed is when we could sit up here. Now, I'm going to talk to you, and I'm stepping on some toes. I might be stepping on my toe. I might have to go get a pedicure tomorrow. But no longer being children means carnal Christians. What's carnal Christians? That's Christians, people who said they're believers in Christ. They consider themselves Christians, but they're still living carnal lives. They're still consumed by the things of this world, and when they're and so that's an immaturity. It's an immaturity. Carnal Christians that don't, you know, may not have a prayer life. They may not know the word. They're not standing firm in the word. Why? Because they don't know it. Why? Because they don't read it. And it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you're not hearing the word of God, your faith is not increasing. Your faith increases by the word of God. How do you know if God wants you to be whole? If you didn't read his word for yourself to know that he wants you to be whole, that he sent his word to heal your disease, how do you know that you could do all things through Christ if you don't read the word? Yes, going to sit in church is good. Fellowship, assembly of the saints is great. It empowers you. It helps you. But guess what? There's nothing more beneficial than you getting in that word of God and you having a prayer life where you're praying and you're hearing the word of God for yourself. So when you go to church and your pastor get up on the pulpit and he speak a word, it's supposed to be confirmation to your spirit. It's supposed to be confirmation. It ain't supposed to be nothing new. When he speak a word, now the revelation that God gives him, he's going to give to his church. But the scripture don't change. The truth of the scripture don't change. The revelations of different scriptures may vary, because what it means to him may not mean to you. But still, what I find when I go to my church, and you make sure you're in a good church, a church that's married to you. You know, a church that's married to you. Every church may be a good church for me, but my church may not be a good church for you. You go find somewhere that you're going to respect the man and woman of God that's ministering, that's becoming your shepherd, that's watching over you. And you may have different qualifications for what you find what works for you. You might, you know, I have different qualifications. I may have qualifications that, you know, that I want, you know, that my pastor, the person I submit to, got to be, you know, a man. He might have to have a family and be married. I mean, I'm just giving some examples. But to be detailed, you know what? Because you're marrying that church. And you're submitting to this man of God. You wouldn't just go pick, well, some of us have, but would you just go pick any husband? Some of us have, and what did it result in? Divorce. And so the same thing when you're choosing a church. You make sure you choose somebody that you respect, that you could submit to, and that you could submit to their leadership. Because that's a pastor is your shepherd. And you got to be able to submit to their leadership. So you want to make sure that you understand what they say. If they get up on the pulpit for 45 minutes hooping and hollering, and you didn't feel like you even understood what was being said, then that may not be the church for you. Some people understand hooping and hollering. That's not a knock. I'm just saying, get where it fits for you so that you can get the word into you, so that you can become mature, so you're no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. See, you got to be up under a good word, and you got to judge the spirit by the spirit, meaning if you're studying your word of God and if somebody says, you know, if somebody says Philippians 3:13 tells you to do not regard yourself as having laid a hold, but then you go to a church and they say, turn to Philippians. They say Philippians 3:13 said, do not divorce your wife. Well, guess what? Many people walking out of church thinking Philippians 3:13 say, do not divorce your wife. Why? Because they never picked up the word for themselves. And so you got to pick up the words. You got to know the word for yourself. You need to be able to compare. If you leave church and that's the only time you pick up your Bible and your word to compare, then you're leading yourself in deep trouble. And you need to be able to verify the word. It should confirm for you in your spirit. Ephesians 4:13, 15 is telling us that we're no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. We see a lot of doctrines in the earth right now, a whole lot of doctrine in the earth. We got churches that's coming up that's, you know, there's all kind of stuff going on. You see it and you wonder. And then these doctrines come out and say, well, no. You're supposed to believe like this because this is the way it should be. Well, guess what? There's nothing new up under the sun. So when something new come out, and it come out talking about this is a new age movement, then you could probably guarantee that it ain't Christ. Because Christ, the message of Jesus Christ is not new. That's not a new message. So you just want to be careful of that. And then it goes on to tell us by the trickery of men. Men are tricky. Men are deceptive. There's no good thing in the heart of man. So you want to, even the pastor that's sitting on the pulpit is a man. So for you to know that your pastor is studying to show himself approved, then what you got to do is study too, because you got to know that what he speaks is according to the word of God, and you got to know that it bears witness with your spirit. It can't just feel good, church. It can't just feel good. And a lot of us just go to church just to feel good, and we don't even know if there's any validity to the scripture that was spoken. We just want to know it made us feel good. We felt happy, and we got to do better than that because children just want to be happy. Children want to play. Children want to have fun. Children want to throw temper tantrums. But mature men and women of God, adults, we know that every day is not a happy day. We know that happiness is fleeting. We know that it's more important that our joy is full. We know that with the valleys comes the peaks and the valleys. So a mature Christian know that so we don't get all frazzled every time a storm comes in our life. We don't start falling apart at the seams. We don't go and fall out with people and friendships and all this other kind of thing just because somebody hurt our feelings. We become mature enough to communicate to our brothers and sisters, hey, when you did that, that hurt my feelings. And then let that be their responsibility if they don't receive it in the heart that it was given. Amen? Then it goes on to say, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. We see the craftiness and deceitful scheming. We see, you know, we see mega churches coming up, and I'm not talking about the body, but we know that the body needs to be cleansed. The body needs to be cleansed because just like in the natural, if you don't clean your body, it starts stinking. So it be in the spiritual. Our body needs to be cleansed because we got a lot of loose ends. We got a lot of stench that God is not pleased with, and we need to clean it in love. You know, you get rid of the spirits of craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even as Christ. So the end result, if you look at all three of these different books that we came from Philippians, we came from Galatians, we came from Ephesians, and the one thing that they all had in common is the truth in love. The truth in love. It's having the right attitude. Approaching the situation gentle. Amen. Minister LaDonna.
Hopefully I'll be able to do this quickly. There's four things that four points that I want to just touch on really really quickly because there's some key things that stood out for me. One, when we talk about the unity of faith, you know, as individuals, we are in the fullness or a whole individuals, and some of us are hoping to be whole. But when we come together, these pieces make a full or a whole body. So when we talk about the unity of faith, you know, one of the things that God is doing is he's restoring the body so it can be whole. You never want to damn the neck and uphold the head and say, damn the neck to hell. Or, you know, try and keep the fingers but cut the hand off. Because guess what? You're destroying the body. And so we have to come to some point where we are operating in the unity of faith. And we're going to talk about how we get there. I love how you brought out being mature believers. And as we are mature believers, one of the things that we begin to do is we set our own personal agenda aside. I love how Coach D talked about operating in love, because in order to set your own personal agenda aside, you begin to operate in love. Even as parents, you know, sometimes when we are upset with our children, like, some of us parents can say, oh, can you pass me that remote? Your child doesn't do it, or your child gets older, and they say, no, you're being lazy. Why don't you get the remote yourself? Now you're mad, and you're going off on your child because you're like, I'm the parent, and you need to do what I tell you to do. But that's your own personal agenda. And so we need to make sure that at all times we're operating in love, setting our own personal agenda aside. And that's, again, operating as mature believers. One of the things that really stands out for me is coming to the fullness of Christ and operating in the fullness of Christ. God is really pressing upon me and showing me that if you come into somebody else's presence And their presence can change your attitude, change your mood, or even the thought of that person can begin to change you. You are not operating in the fullness of Christ. There are some areas in your life that Christ does not reign over. So you're thinking about your ex-husband, you're thinking about your ex-wife, and all of a sudden your mood begins to change. Guess who's reigning over that area of your life? It's not God, and most of the time it's us, our own personal agenda, or those hurts and pains that we've been through. So the only way that we can begin to operate in the fullness of Christ, I love how Coach D talked about getting into your word, because that develops your relationship with Christ. You begin to, Christ begins to open up to healing. You begin to open yourself up to hearing from God and allowing him to direct you in situations, and your relationship grows. You know, as parents, another parent can come and talk to your child and tell your child all kinds of crazy things, but your child knows to come back to you and verify things through you and operate according to what you tell them, or at least they should know. And if you have a good relationship with your child, they do know. And so that's what Christ wants to have with us, a good relationship with us. One of the other things, I love how Coach D brought out that our pastors should have their relationship with Christ, and they should be studying to show themselves approved. But when you, and also when you think about a household and you think about managing a household as parents, there's requirements of every person in that household, even to support the head of the household. Like, you don't go to work all day, come home and cook all day, and then clean up everything, and your children don't have responsibilities. And usually those responsibilities are to help support you as the head of the household while you lead, direct, and guide the household. So I encourage you, of course, get to a good church. And when you get there, be active there. Pray for your pastor. You may not have the voice to join the choir. And I always tell people I can sing, I just can't carry a tune. So they might not want me in their choir. You may not have the energy to be the physical ability to be on the usher board, but you definitely can pray. Find out what ways that you can support your pastor so that you can help them stay in a position of hearing from God and staying in a position of obedient to the word of God. Because while your pastor is going before God and supporting all of the parishioners, who's supporting the pastor? And pastors are humans too, he or she. I'm not being gender biased, it's he or she. But who's supporting the pastor? Who's helping them stay in rightful position? All of us need help.
Amen.
All of us need help. So those are things that pop out. And, you know, to end it all, I love, again, how Coach D is returning everything back to operating in love, you know, being Christ, being the mirror of Christ for people and operating in love. And so for all of what we talked about, being able to operate in maturity always, always, always takes you back to love.
Amen, amen, amen. Yes, indeed. I tell you, I got all kind of noise going on here, but that's okay. Glory to God. We're going to pray for whoever that is for, that all is well. But we just, tonight, I believe, was a great show for all of us, those listening in. I believe that it just reminded us of God's grace and his mercy. It reminded us that He never assigned us to be the stones in people's lives. And I think it just humbles you to remember that while you're criticizing and while you're judging and while you're looking at what somebody else is not doing, that you need to be just looking at yourself. And it's not. And again, it's not to say that that there's not an element of, you know, don't get me wrong, because what I don't want people to get is that when you see people trespassing and you know it's out of order, now, and you have a relationship with these people, then in love, you need to pray and ask the Lord, how would he lead you? Because if he leads you to that person for correction in love, then the chances are that person's going to receive the spirit of where they came from. And I just want us to be careful, because I know a lot of times we see people that's just out of order. And we'll just turn our heads and close our eyes and say, well, that ain't my problem. That's their problem. That's between them and God. Well, guess what? Yes, between them and God, but guess what? God lives in you. And so if you're just willing to see your brother or sister die, I mean, you know what I'm saying? If you want to just see them die, I mean, even if you don't feel led to go and say something, then you need to be praying. Instead of talking about them, downing them, pray. Lift them up. Pray for them. Stand in the gap. Ask God to send, to reveal it to them, or send a person in their life, a mature Christian laborer in their life, to help them to see that they're heading in the wrong direction. Because believe me, they already know they're headed in the wrong direction, because God in most cases probably already pricked their spirit. But if you keep ignoring God's prick, then eventually it turns into a reprobate mind. You become insensitive. There's no more conviction. Everything. And so we just want to love on each other, love each other back to hell. You know, it'd just be no different. If you walked in the house and every member in your house was sick with the flu, then it's your job to make the soup. It's your job to go to the store and get the medicine and get the ginger ale and all the things that you need to nurse them back to hell. Same thing in the body. When we see that we're sick, if I'm sick, don't look at me and talk about, oh, yeah, you see what Coach D did, or, oh, yeah, you know Coach D did. No. Nurse me back to health. Pray for me. Get me back on track so that I can come out of that sickness. Amen. So we are at the end of our show. I mean, this was just perfect timing. Woo woo. Good word. I don't know, Minister Don, if you have anything else that you want to add to, but definitely a good word, and I just thank God that he was faithful, even on tonight. That he showed up, because I moments before this call, I was really, 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 and just keep me in prayer. I'm not claiming them, but I was really ill, and I just didn't know that I was going to make it through. And my prayer was for God is that he would honor the push. And I tell you, he honored the push, because I got revelation. If nobody else got anything out of tonight, I definitely got revelation. Amen.
Amen. I did as well. And again, we thank you guys for listening. We hope that what we brought to you, that you received first and foremost the Spirit of God, you received the truth of what was brought. We hope that it ministered in your life and that it brings healing to different areas of your life. If you have any questions, if you have any comments, if you have any concerns, you're always, always, always welcome to bring them to us. You can, of course, contact us on our Facebook page, Woman to Woman, and then you can always email us. But when the show is going on, we definitely love those comments during the show. And, of course, that's by pressing 1 on your dial pad, letting our team know that you have a question or comment. And then, of course, we would love for you to continue to join us. Continue to join us every Tuesday, but not only every Tuesday, because MCD Network has different shows that will help you through different areas of your life. We have Processing the Pain on Thursdays, where Coach D comes in and always brings a great, 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 awesome word. And then we have some new shows that are being developed, too. And of course, Processing the Pain is at 7 p.m. on Thursday nights, Pacific Standard Time as well. So we just encourage you to continue joining us. Again, we hope that something that we said has blessed you, has brought healing, has brought revelation, and we hope to continue to have you join us. We hope to continue inviting you in to every Tuesday, and we hope that you continue coming in. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yes, I did all that. We love you all. Know that you appreciate it. Stay tuned. Join us this Thursday. I'm excited. I'm excited about some things that's happening in the MCD Network. Our family is growing. Amen. So love you, and we look forward to seeing you next week on Woman to Woman.
Songs of love and songs of joy, songs of light we bring.
Here we go.
Diamonds to a woman, songs of light we sing, songs of love and songs of joy, songs of light we bring.
Sing it again. Woman to
woman,
woman, songs of life we bring, songs of love and songs of joy. Woman to woman, yeah. Okay, Kayla, sing it down low for him.
Songs of love and